Yeah, the funding that the support that's been given to, not the funding of the MDDA, actually the grants that they give out. I've got the example of the Nkomasi Observer. I spoke to the manager, and he indicated that they've been receiving grants for 5 years, and in 2013 they requested 300,000. And they were granted over 800,000. And when I look at the last amount that they received now for strengthening, it is over 600,000 rand. And my concern is just that we, if we hand out these huge lump sums to entities or media entities or the printing houses, are we not creating a culture where people are dependent on grants rather than educate them and equip them with real knowledge? Because in a normal environment, within 3 years, if you cannot run a business, then you know you must withdraw. And are we not taking away opportunities from other people that might be able to actually run their business? They only print 5,000 bi-monthly papers, and for me, sometimes I think some of these people, they think it's the lottery that they win. And if they if we keep just handing out these huge sums of money, for me, as I say, I think they become dependent on it. And I think that we, what is the reason why they cannot sustain themselves after 5 years?
Honorable Fandam, your hand was up before lunch. Are you sorted? Honorable Tsedi?
Chair, I'm happy to hear that that these engagements that MDDA is now planning to have with SALK in terms of the support that community radios can get or are supposed to be getting from municipalities in the main. But the question that arises is, for now, as we give them the funding that we have given them, like now, to what extent are we convinced that those that are claiming to be community radios, when they are not necessarily in operation community radios, do we have a tool that we use in the process of us giving them funding as such? Because I'm raising this thing with, I think it was the minister earlier touched on issue of governance, where committees were not properly elected, these boards were not properly elected, and like, I'm just interested in the tool that you are using for now, as you approve some of these applications. Thanks, Chairperson.
Round, if you have anything. Are you covered? Largely covered. Over to you.
No, I just want to say one of our executives.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Chair. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and members. Let me just respond to that question about the Nkomazi Observer and it having applied for 300,000 and having been given 800,000. Let me, within that project is a small commercial media project, and within the small commercial media unit, we currently, as we speak, we have a huge backlog in terms of applications. That unit has been funded through the PDMSA funding. And that funding, PDMSA, the big four, that is your Times, your Kexton, your Independent, and your Media 24. Since 2004, they've been giving us 1.2 per annum each. So as a result of that, we have not been able to have a budget that is more than 6 million for that particular unit whilst being funded by the PDMSA. And the demand in terms of the number of applications that we receive in each financial year surpasses the number. So we've always been funding less than the applications that we've received, even though some of the projects have been meeting the criteria. As a result of that, there's been a build-up of projects or of a backlog. And as a result of that, you find out that we are only able to respond to some of the applicants after a period of 2 to 3 years in terms of responding to them, in responding to the application and adjudicating on them. So what we do, we've got a process that we call, within our grant funding cycle, we've got a process that we call screening. So when you do a screening, we actually look at the applicant in terms of the criteria and on whether the application meets the mandate or the provisions as provided in the MDDA Act. And then after that, we then, during the screening process, we do that as a team. We then agree during screening that that particular project meets the criteria. And given the fact that that project has applied in the last 2 years, we then conduct what you call an assessment, an on-site assessment. That is where now we send an officer to go on the ground to meet with the project. Now, that process translates to a process where we take the application from the application form and then build it in what you call a project justification report. Then the project justification report is where then that officer is on the ground, he's seen the community, he's met the members of the project, he's interacted with the members of the project, and then he engages them on their motivation as they have applied. Now, once that officer then meets with that particular project, then that project gets owned now by that officer who has met them on the ground in Ngomazi. He knows the socioeconomic conditions. Now, we are preparing that project for the board, for presentation to the board. And then it comes back to two quality assurance committees. There are two quality assurance committees after the assessment. The first quality assurance committee is with the project team, the whole overall project team. And then the last quality assurance committee is then chaired by an executive member. Now, that executive member is the one who's going to be able, who's going to now be presenting the project for adjudication to the board. So after the assessment, there are those two quality assurance committees wherein even other people who are not part, other people who are part of the whole team within the MDDA, actually engage with that particular project. Now, that is where then even the budgeting, because now that project had applied 2 years ago, printing goes up every year. Printing costs go up every year. Now, if you applied for 300,000, now, 2 years down the line, the computers that you have applied for, in terms of the computers, furniture, and everything has gone up. Now, during the on-site assessment, the officer engages with the project on that budget to say, is the budget that you use to apply still relevant? Then if it's not still relevant, then engage with it. Now, there is one important thing that thing we need to mention is that we have negotiated with various printers across the country for printing discounts. So we are able to guide the projects in terms of saying which is your nearest printer, taking into consideration issues of transport, of the paper, taking into consideration all those issues. So we are able to actually say, okay, your nearest printer is Caxton. So if your nearest printer is Caxton, therefore, we are able to save on transport costs on this particular one. So then the budget comes out. Then once they discuss and agree on the budget, when it is being submitted to the board, we are able to show the board to say, this is what they requested. And after having engaged with them and having agreed with them on the need analysis and after having engaged during the quality assurance sessions in terms of why is that officer recommending that budget, we then take that budget and recommend it to the board with all its motivations. Now, 800,000 is not giving a huge sums of money. It is not, because the money is dispersed in four tranches. So if it's 100,000, you would assume that is dispersed in 200, 200, 200, 200. Those are the four tranches, right? Now, out of those four tranches, you would note that you've got printing and distribution, which are key, which would take about 150,000 of that 200,000. Printing and distribution, which is the key of what that particular newspaper is going to be doing. So the other 50,000 would cover your stipends and your electricity and so on. So that is what we monitor when the project is reporting. So they report on that 200,000. So it's easy to monitor that 200,000 because you can see, you know, as an officer, that 150,000 goes to printing and distribution. So you know there's a printing invoice, there's a distribution invoice. And then you look at whether people have been paid stipends and people have signed for those stipends. Then you're able to give the next 200,000. So it's not like you're throwing huge sums of money. That's what we are monitoring. So that 800,000 is a piecemeal. And there's a question on why these projects cannot be able to sustain themselves. It depends on the socio-economic conditions of that particular project. Our bias is on rural communities. Our bias in the historical disadvantaged communities. I'll make an example about the DO reason that she, Honorable Van Wyk, talked about. The DO reason is in Upington. So the DO reason gets funding from the MDDA. And the DO reason reports. And when the project reports, they give us the newspapers that they have printed for that period. They are reporting. Now, when we look at the DO reason, we find out, when we're reviewing the report, we find out that the municipality is not advertising in the DO reason. Actually, there are no advertisements in the D horizon. We call the project to say, why are there no advertisements in your newspaper? The response is that I'm not getting support from local business, I'm not getting support from the municipality and so on. We then move from Johannesburg to Upington to meet with CEDA. Say, CEDA, can you please assist us in terms of actually assisting with marketing? You know, marketing support for this particular newspaper. And then we go to the municipality, we have a meeting with the mayor to actually try to look at how. So those are the kind of support that we give. But at the end of the grant funding cycle, you've been monitoring that, you find out that this particular project has not actually made any significant revenue, but there is a potential. For after some time, the project then applies for second support. Then we then go to the board and motivate to the board to say we request that this project must be considered for second support because we can see that there's a potential, but because of the socio-economic conditions in the community and the fact that the project is finding difficulties, there are these competitions that are kind of sort of elite guys who own newspapers there who are overpowering him. So he cannot be able to shine because already there are people who are already closing the terrain. And then that's where then the question for the second support comes in and it gets considered. So there are a number of motivations that we put into the board before a project is given a additional or second support. So mainly the reason why it's difficult for these particular projects to sustain themselves is around socio-economic conditions of those communities and competition from the well-established or conglomerates. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. Oh, yeah, Chair. No, my biggest worry, the whip. No, there's a whip here. There's a whip. This is not an ANC whip. This is not an ANC whip. It's a committee whip. Okay. You see, my biggest worry in trying to reassure the honorable member, you presented something which is very scary. before. No, so this is why I heard it. You can't say no, Louis. I said you are lifting your head. You are saying no. Yeah, no. I'm saying the process you presented here until a person gets a support. I can tell you it's what is killing business. It's what is undermining our ability to promote entrepreneurship as we talk today. I mean, we in this day and age, we must be able to have a template which has been tested, which is capable of us of giving you with certainty that these following minimums this person does meet. And then you put that template in the situation, you answer the question. If I listen to you, there are many parliaments that sit before this decision is taken. You know, the honorable member next to me was even counting as you are speaking. She says, it appears you might give this thing on the sixth year if we are listening to you. The point I'm making is that unless South Africa take drastic steps, we will never see the light of the day in competing with other countries on entrepreneurship. And I can tell you, it doesn't matter how you look at it. The vibrant economies, their pillar is a viable entrepreneurship and processes that are quick. I'm saying, I've been listening to you, well articulated, and you understand it, but you understand something that looks very long. And I'm saying, I'm trying to imagine, this was a rural person. Please allow me to use my village all the time. Kupochan comes here, waits for this process. By the time you guys, you already spoke about a guarantee of more than 2 years, you said after 2 years, the price of this must have gone up. That 800 might have lost meaning, 800,000 and so on. All I'm saying is that, I'm saying, Minister, I am proposing that let's look at a different model. I don't know that what that model is, but it's a model that does not destroy the morale of a prospective entrepreneur. South Africa is doing very bad on entrepreneurship. And it cannot be us now, it cannot be in South Africa that we've got processes like this, where we are one of the worst performers in the world in terms of entrepreneurship. And I can tell, unless we put in place models that activate and mobilize our people to participate in their economy. But all I'm saying, I'm even proposing, Chair, that maybe this process that we've just articulated now, if you can write it down step by step and tell us by when, what would have happened, by what would have happened, what would have happened. And I'm saying that period is too long. And all these subjections, these bureaucrats, this chain. You know, in other countries, you arrive today, they put a call, they put a line for you in the afternoon. And all these tax things are sorted out. And I'm saying, sorry for being harsh to you. It's not my intention. I'm harsh to the process, not to you, because I guess it's not your process. Anyway, you can't take it personally because you're articulating what is there. And I'm not asking that niipendule nonke. He hasn't asked niipendule nonke. Lentole. All I'm saying, Minister, can your leadership assist on a model that our people can plan on within reasonable time? They must see themselves in business, making mistakes, failing or succeeding within a short space of time so that they can try something else if this one doesn't work. Entrepreneurship, South Africa, please.
Okay, Minister, go ahead.
Honorable Chair, you see, the advantage with this committee is cancelled.
and we were told to translate it into something that will work, save to say, Honorable Chairperson, to say, the socio-economic impact study which they have conducted, I think it's going to also deal with the legislative and processes or models which will guide these issues that you are raising, because at the end of the day, remember, we are guided by the NDP. And how do we contribute also towards the 9-point plan? Whatever we do now should be that to say job creation, entrepreneurship, sustainable job creation. I think also you mean sustainable entrepreneurship, not just to buy bread and put it on the table. We take that one. These are the issues that we'll talk into consideration. Yes, yeah. Thank you, Chair.
All right. Are we not done? Thank you very much, Minister and MTDA. Thanks very much for your presentation and your responses. Well done. Well done. We'll meet again. You are now released. We are not only saying we are done with you, you are released. In the House, we'll be left with the minister. Can we request media to, because we have closed the meeting now, can we request media, everybody who's associated with media, we are going to talk our issues now. Yes, ma'am.
Chair, can I advise that we do not exclude the media? No, have a right to be here.
Last week, we requested a closed session when we were going to deal with what we were going to deal with. And we were granted, and everybody agreed. Can we do that? Because we are... Yeah, officials, fine. Can you do that? Because this is a consultation, it's not the committee meeting, per se. Yeah, even you, Chief SAPC, please, don't hide.
So I can switch off the recording and just wait for...
Yeah, I think just switch off, because I don't know.
We just want to consult on something.
Chief, can you just explain to my colleague...
Can we let them leave first, and then we can raise whatever we want to raise after that? Can you just...